matter what people say. Yeah. We got it going on. Yeah. Who cares about what they think?
You know me, I'm the hottest in the
scene. WJMS, this is According to RP.
Turn up the volume, kick back, and get raw with us.
From the latest hip-hop beats to social issues that cripple the black community. All from the perspective of a young, strong black woman.
A strong.
Welcome back, everyone, for another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host. And as always, I hope you guys had a wonderful, wonderful weekend. And for those of you who have been following us on social media, you know that I don't even think I can call him a guest anymore. I don't know what to call you, Paul, but PB is back. Paul is back from his long sabbatical from the According to RP show.
I can't, but look, first of all, don't play me like that. Like, you know, you're acting like, you know, I took a long sabbatical. Let's just be honest. I couldn't find my microphone.
I mean, well, before you lost your microphone, there was like, I mean, I don't think there was a PB and RP in the month of December. When were these headphones, when did they mysteriously disappear?
In December. I still cannot find them. Like I was telling you before, we moved, you know, and they were in my kid's room. It was packed up. I didn't do the packing. I don't know where it is. And on top of that, you know, as everyone remembers, 2019 was a complete shit show for about 98% of the population on Earth. Now everybody's in 2020. We're all trying to, you know,
recoup. Yeah, we're cutting off toxic people. We're trying to cut off toxic situations. We're leaving the past in the past, allegedly.
Right. But apparently I left my microphones in 2019. I'm going to find them. But until then, you know, we're here. We're making do with what we have because, you know,
because
we got to do what we got to do.
I mean, my thing is that I feel like if your headphones decided to stay in 2019, I think that's a sign from God that you need to get new headphones, or somebody who is listening here needs to donate to the Paul Bromley PB fund of getting new headphones. Because
I'm definitely not going to argue with that.
Because, I mean, we need to continue moving forward in 2020. You know, I feel like I feel like it's a sign since it's been probably December. We're about to be in February now, and you still have not found.
It's really sad. It's trash, and you really hate to see it. But you know, this is the energy that we're on in 2020. Like we don't have any microphones. We're still making it work. There, you got it.
We out here doing what we gotta do. Hey. That's commitment right there.
Yeah,
commitment. Well, Paul, since we haven't spoken to you for 60 days, I mean. What have you, like, tell the people, what have you been up to? How was your holiday season? We could backtrack for 2 minutes. What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, the holidays were great. You know, I have kids, so, like, the holidays are actually, like, you get to see, like, that Christmas magic, you know, because once you get older, your parents ain't thinking about your ass no more. You don't get no gifts.
They don't care about you.
Especially once you have kids, like, you definitely don't get shit anymore. Like, everything goes to your kids. And now, you know, they're of the age now, you know, where, like, you know, they kind of know what's going on, especially my son. So, you know, that was beautiful. We moved, you know, from New York to New Jersey. So we have like a new, you know, had like a new little, and that was actually like right before Christmas. So you can just imagine how hectic that was. but, you know, the holidays were great. You know, I ate too much. And, you know, now I'm in the middle of Whole 30. I'm in the middle of a detox. And you know, so also I couldn't focus on finding microphones because I was trying to find something to eat because the niggas hungry.
You're on this detox.
I'm hungry.
Does that mean you're not drinking any alcohol? Is this detox include no alcohol? Yes.
I can't drink. I can't eat sugar. I can't eat bread. I can't eat cheese.
Oh man. See, I've been holding off on my like detox thing for a while.
I'm mad you got real silent like you was mourning me.
It's a little sad because you know how we do. We normally have like the brown drink.
I normally have a drink when I'm doing this shit. So you can just about imagine. Yeah, but honestly though, I feel better. I feel good. Like I feel very clear headed. You know, after you know, I'm almost done. I have like another week left.
Okay.
You know, so it's a great program. Like it's not even really a diet. Like you're basically just like eliminating like certain things from your diet to try to like figure out like what your triggers are, like what irritates or inflames your body and things of that nature.
Yeah.
And I needed that. I needed a reset. I needed, you know, so. I feel good, I know, I said too,
but I don't know, man. The way that, like, you know, this life is set up, the way my job is set up, I feel like I need all the drinks. Like, I don't think I can afford to not drink in this time, at least. I don't know.
It's a stony road. I'll put it that way. It's definitely a stony road. So I understand.
Yeah.
But so what's going on with you? How was your...
I mean, my holiday was okay. You know, I have a child. I have the kid, but he's like 13. So, you know, that whole Christmas magic is not necessarily there. You know, he truly...
have a job by
I mean, he's 13 now. Next year, I think we could start putting in some applications. So I think that might be what the move is. But no, I did get him. I do like seeing him happy when he gets things that, you know, from the list that he sent me. So there's no shock.
Yeah.
Okay. So, mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, so at that's 13, always
you
good.
You got a full list and nothing on this sheet either.
Oh, my God. So he sent me... he sent me a list and links to, you know, to purchase these items.
This should have never gave niggas the internet.
Yo,
they sent links.
He sent links, so I bet
he wanted some Jordans.
He didn't put Jordans on there because the thing is, my son, as interesting as he can be, he also knows not to play himself. So,
a child at the my own heart.
Exactly,
because I already knew my mom would have played the shit out of me if I put some Jordans on.
He doesn't like to be embarrassed. So, you know, he doesn't like to, so he has some sort of sensibility with the list. Even though some of the things, like, you know, I saw the cost, I don't think he fully, you know, looked at the link. He just sent it. I was just like, nah, you can't get all of these things. But for the most part, my holiday was pretty good. I spent it with family. I tried to, you know, my girl Marley, you know, Marley, we all used to work together. I was there for Christmas Eve with the God kids and it, you know, the Haitian turn up, we had fried Haitian food. Oh yeah. It was great. And then Christmas Day, I spent it with the other side of my family. So the holidays is always good. The one thing I will say next year though, is I'm going to try to take more days off around the holidays because I just want to be home and listen to Christmas music.
Yeah, like that period of time in between like Christmas and New Year's when you don't know what day it is.
Yeah, exactly.
You just like pajamas. You want to wear pajamas every day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You don't want to get up and have to go to work.
No.
I was on that struggle this year too.
Yeah, it was like this is not called for. Like we should just be shut down. So that was that. So, you know, and then 2020 came and we're we're 26 days into the new year.
Yeah.
So, you know, just trying to make moves, trying to push things along.
Yeah.
All right.
Sounds good.
So, you know, we kept a lot of the preliminaries, obviously, with this show. So, you know, it's now time for our Urban Dictionary Word of the Week. I'm not telling you what it is so that I want your, like, honest reaction to the word. I'm trying to, I don't know if Urban Dictionary heard me from 2019, but I think that they are trying to make an effort to be better this time around. Because the words that we were, you know, trying to figure out, it was like, come on, man. Like, what are we doing here? It's like, I feel like they just got lazy in like Q3, Q4. They were like, all right, we ain't got time for this.
It's 2019. I told you, it's a shitty for everybody.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. If there was stock in Urban Dictionary, that shit was plummeting. But it looks like they're trying to do their thing. So it's now time for the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
May I have the definition?
What does skeet mean?
What's on fleek?
Can you use it in a sentence?
On fleek, you lit.
And it's gonna be lit.
Major key.
It's time for the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
And this week's word or phrase is markled.
You know what? It's crazy. Because I know, I was just sitting here thinking, like, damn, we should talk about Meghan Markle running off on the plug with Harry.
Yeah, well, I talked about it last week. What, you didn't tune in to the episode. See, this is how you're telling on yourself.
I tuned in. We didn't talk about it.
Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about it.
I know that Markle obviously has something to do with the illustrious black princess of Sussex.
Of course. Or
Duchess of Sussex, rather. Now the Queen. Empress of Canada, apparently.
Empress of Canada, so assuming, yes.
Yeah. So I'm assuming it has, let me see, Markle. I'm hoping it has anything to do with gold digging, because that would be fucked up. But I'm assuming it has something with leaving people behind, or tell me what it is.
All right, so I actually, there's several definitions for it, but I identified two that I thought to be very interesting, and it tickled me a little bit. So the first one, markled, a form of catfishing, having been duped or conned by someone pretending to be someone they are not. Example, she markled him with her fake online profile.
Ooh, that, I hate it.
That's the first one. The second next. Markled, cutting off all communication and contact for no obvious reason. This form of ghosting is not limited to intimate relationships. It can include friends, associates, or family members. Example, when Jessica mentioned after 3 months of reaching out to friend without success, she was of the opinion, for reasons unbeknownst to her, that she had been markled. So
I have thoughts. Please continue.
So that's what we have. There was another one too that was actually a little even more specific. I couldn't find it now, but it basically was like, you know, when it was pointing to the exact situation at hand, when you get into the royal family and you steal the prince, or like it was a very, very petty post. But this is what, yeah, this is Urban Dictionary. I feel like white people, it's two things. Either white people, they are penetrating.
That's not urban. Nobody's urban.
Yeah.
Came with that.
Yeah. The white people are penetrating Urban Dictionary. They are sending posts and submissions under what would be considered ghetto names, because I definitely seen quotes like, you know, Little Fizzy, you know, submitted by Little Fizzy, or submitted by Loquacious, and it's just like not to say that these names are not in circulation in the American society. However, a lot of these Urban Dictionary posts have me thinking that they are submitted by white people.
I mean, this whole, correct, absolutely, but this whole, these definitions and just the whole situation surrounding her, and I'm not going to, like you said, I know you talked about this before, so I'm not going to, like, bogart this topic or run it to the ground, but, like, just everything surrounding her arrival or her union into this royal family, everything around it has been so fucking biased and racist. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Like, she did not steal that man from the royal family. Harry has been out here reckless as hell and making it very clear that he don't fuck with them for decades.
Yeah.
Decades.
And you that he has jungle fever.
Yeah, you know, clearly he likes, you know, he's ginger, but he like a little chocolate on his gingerbread. That's very obvious.
A little cocoa.
And I appreciate that personally. You know what I'm saying? No, just a little bit, and I can appreciate that. But like, his mom also, like, being like Princess Diana or whatever, like the media, like obviously the media killed her. Like, they dragged her through the mud when she was alive also. And I'm certain, like, watching what happened to his mom and what she had to go through, and now you're married to a woman, and you see the same British media attempting to do almost the exact same thing to this woman because she's considered an outsider, or who people don't consider, you know, good enough to be in the royal family. What kind of man is going to stand by and let somebody like do that to their wife,
yeah,
or to their child? What kind of, how can you call yourself a husband? our father. And I'm certain that he's more being that than being a good royal, which is a sign of a real man to me. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so, but this whole thing about her, like, stealing him and all that, like, no, she was trying to play that game with y'all. She came, she smiled, she went to that barn-ass wedding. She even brought her own preacher and all that kind of stuff because she was like, I can't do all this stuff that y'all wanted. She tried to play the game. Y'all have just been dragging this woman through the fucking mud, man. It's just so ridiculous. And I'm so glad that they're emancipating themselves and just going off and just living their lives. She looks so happy now. And I think that is. He seems happy too. Like, they seem genuinely. Yeah. Those definitions were bullshit. Don't you ever use that again for Urban Dictionary. I'm gonna write a letter to Urban Dictionary, and I'm not gonna use a name like Loquacious. I'm gonna use a white name. Matter of fact, I'm gonna use a white woman's name, and I'm gonna write a letter.
Oh my god,
that is ridiculous, man.
Well, that was our Urban Dictionary word of the week. So. We are.
See, and you got me hot. Like, you can't start off like that.
You gotta go. I mean, do you have your iced tea next? Are you allowed to drink iced tea on this detox? Like, what type of tea are you drinking? Can you do green tea?
Unsweetened iced tea.
What about a turmeric latte?
I'm with a Turkey Hill. I can't have turmeric. I can have a turmeric latte with almond milk. Yes,
there you go.
I'm gonna calm it down.
Just a little bit.
I'm pulling it back.
Well, hopefully this section will definitely get you, you know, on a much happier, prouder note. It's now time for the big up of the week. Watch it. When you feel big up, big up. All of the woman, them big up, big up. All of the girl, them big up, big up. All of the woman, them big up, big up. So this week we have a couple of big ups, actually. I know you have some of your own, but my big up of the week, and it's crazy because I feel like Assemblywoman Rodney's Bichotte has been bigged up on this show at least 5 other times in the history of According to RP.
Keep on bigging it up.
Yeah, I know, but she keeps doing things to be bigged up. And so she keeps doing things to be bigged up. She's always breaking records. Like, my friend hit me up the other day and was like, I didn't know that, you know, your aunt was like the first person to, you know, do what we're about to big her up for. And I was just like, she's been like the first at 3 different things already in the last several years. But either way, so for those of you who have been listening to this show faithfully and even semi-faithfully, you all know that Assemblywoman Rodney's Bichotte is my aunt. She's actually my blood aunt, my mother's sister. So it's not one of those fake, you know, that's my cousin, that's my auntie. She's my actual aunt. And so I take opportunity to big her up whenever, not just because she's my aunt, but because she's really out here, you know, blazing trails for all women of color and people of color, especially those of Caribbean descent. And so, for those of you who have, you know, been involved in, I guess, New York politics, Brooklyn politics, you all know very well that Rodney's Bichotte, as of, I guess it was, what was last week? What was last week's, last Monday's date? It was Martin Luther King Day. I don't know if it was January 19th or 18th or whatever the date was. Oh, no, January 20th, on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, which I think is very historical, it was confirmed, and she was, I guess there was a whole swearing in, there was a vote that Rodney's Bichotte is now the first female Democratic Party chairperson in Kings County, Brooklyn. So she is now the county leader, which has a lot of responsibility, but also a lot of power. So Frank Sedio was the former. He had stepped down from the position. He was leading the county, I think, since like 2012. But with this position, you are appointing judges. You are, you know, assisting in writing laws. Like, it's a very, very, not just prestigious position, but it's also a very, I know, it's very heavy, I would say.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and that's so
and you said she was the first woman,
she's period. The first not female
woman period.
First female period to run the to become the chair to basically be what everybody is dubbing her as boss lady. She is now the boss of Brooklyn, which is what that's what that position is. Frank Sedio.
No, I'm saying it's beautiful.
Yeah, I mean it's one of those things where it's like, man. Here we go again, like another example of how hard work and, perseverance can really get you to, you know, where you need to be. Because, I mean, Brooklyn is very diverse, but when it comes to politics and then when it comes to, you know, positions like this, we all know that, you know, the white people are still out here in these streets. You know, these are positions that are usually held by, white people. That's why she's the first woman. And obviously I don't believe that there ever was a black person at all. I think she's the first person of color and first woman to hold this position. And so to have that, you know, take place on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, I think she was approved 39-1. And that one, somebody abstained from voting. So basically everybody in the room, except for that one lone person who decided not to vote, period, voted her into this position. So it was, you know, it was a sweep. And so she's still going to continue to be the assemblywoman. A lot of people think, you know, felt like, oh, maybe she's going to be stepping down or that she has to step down because she's taking on such a large role. But this is a position that I think everybody who's held it has also had another job of some sort, whether it be in politics or not. So she's still going to be assemblywoman for the 42nd district, but then she's now going to be stepping into this new role as the county lead, as the Democratic, you know, party leader in Brooklyn. So I'm really excited to see what all this, you know, how all this transpires and what, you know, successful, you know, laws and, you know, what awesome judges and whatnot are, you know, being appointed in Brooklyn. And I'm looking forward to seeing the change.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it too. And yeah, I'm really excited, first of all, just to see, you know, black women finally, you know, getting, a seat at the table politically, especially within the Democratic Party, because, you know, you all are the most loyal people, you know, and voters and constituency to the party. And I'm sorry, you know, but I think I said this on the show before, too. Like, you know, whenever a black woman's in charge, like, things get done. So I'm super excited, super proud of her, too. It's excellent. It's amazing. Big up.
Big up to her. Big up to you, Tati. So now, Paul, I know you had some big ups. Who are they? What's going on?
Actually, so I guess this is the political
corner. Week
on according to RP for big ups. Because as I like to call her, Speaker Nancy O, you won't see Pelosi, has named 7 House members to serve in high-profile roles. As impeachment managers, and impeachment managers essentially are the members of the House of Representatives who will argue the case to impeach President Trump during the Senate trial. And I want to personally big up two African American managers on the team, Representative Hakeem Jeffries, who's a Democrat from New York, and also a Democratic Representative. Val Demings. She's black. So yes, Miss Black Val Demings, a representative from Florida. Both of them have been named as 2 of the 7 managers for the impeachment trial. And as we know, the only other most recent impeachment was of Bill Clinton back in the 90s. And unlike that managerial team, Representative Pelosi decided to pick members from it's a much more diverse group of managers, and especially with these two individuals, you know, they have just been making very impassioned pleas and arguments for the impeachment the removal of President Trump from office. Mr. Jeffries has even been quoting Biggie Smalls and his arguments and things of that nature. But I think that it is so important to have these diverse voices, and not just have voices of just white men, on the as impeachment managers and running these proceedings, because there's so many different people who are impacted and affected by this. You have to have different perspectives. You have to have different voices. And you have to have people who are really passionate and who have the background to be able to articulately argue, you know, why they believe that this person is unfit from office, because it's really important to our future, not just as individuals, but to this country. So I just want to big up both of them for being trailblazers. And, you know, this is certainly a big, big, you know, thumbs up and an okay to Hakeem Jeffries, who I know has made it public and known that he's interested in, you know, pursuing the Speaker of the House role should Ms. Pelosi resign. So this is definitely a great platform and a good step up for him. And Ms. Dennings is just, you know, she's Ms. Dennings, she's just amazing in and of herself. Awesome. Stop writing her hate mail. Stop threatening her.
That's already happening.
Let Ms. Dennings do her job. Let Mr. Jeffries do her job. Let the other five representatives do their job, and let's see how this all pans out. But I definitely wanted to give a big up to both of them obtaining these very prestigious roles and playing such an integral part in upholding our union and holding the president to the standard of not being above the law.
It's beautiful. Yeah, which I think is really important, and it's even more beautiful that Black people are part of this task force. To do that.
What I'm saying?
Definitely big up to that. So with every high, there is always a low. And I know that we were talking about this a little bit offline, and I'm just like, you know, I'm never shocked anymore. Like when it comes to the womp womp of the week, I'm never shocked I'm not shocked by the craziness that I hear and see in these streets. But it's just, it's more like entertainment to a point now. Like at some point it's, you know, at first I was all concerned, and now I just feel like, I'm just entertained by all this BS. So this week's womp womp of the week goes to Javier Ortiz. He's a captain he was a captain at least in the Miami Police Department. And I think it might've been at some point there were allegations of discrimination that were lodged against him by African-American or Black individuals, you know, from, I guess, that were either his subordinates or within the Miami PD structure. And so they had lodged these complaints, and they named him specifically as the discriminator. So his response, I guess, to these allegations of discrimination is what seemed to have been somewhat... I would say they're disturbing, but again, because nothing surprises me anymore in this society, I'm just kind of like, all right, over it. But I wanted to talk about it just to again highlight the different lengths that people are willing to go to evade. I don't even know what exactly he's evading, but either way. So...
accountability?
I guess accountability would be the word, right? Like, I guess that's the word, because like I sit here and I try to like understand what exactly is taking place, and it doesn't make any sense to me. But essentially what took place is that Javier, when he was called out for being a racist, for discriminating against these Black people, he stepped out and said that he was not discriminating against them because he too is a Black man. Ah, there we go. I found it. He too is a Black man. He is a Black man. So therefore he is not discriminating against these individuals. And when you look at the image of Javier, which is what I'll post it on according to RP, you look at this guy and you're like, this guy is not Black. This guy looks like he can pass for an Italian. He can pass for, you know, anything that's not Black, really. But he's Hispanic. And we know that there are a lot of white Hispanics out there. Like, that's just what it is. A lot of Hispanic individuals identify solely as being white. And there's nothing wrong with that if that's what it is, you know, like I have friends who they could trace their ancestry far back. And for the most part, it's, you know, either from Spain or Portugal or whatever the case is. There might be, you know, some black blood somewhere, but that's not what's overwhelming. And so they prefer to identify themselves as white Hispanics, which is a thing. So interestingly enough, the commissioner, I guess, the Black Commission, I don't know if he's the commissioner of the Miami PD or whatever the case is that was out there in Florida, basically had asked Ortiz, what did your application state? What did you put on your application when you applied for, you know, the Miami PD, whatever, some odd years ago? And his response was, I put on that I was a white Hispanic. And so that's exactly what the paperwork stated, that he was a white Hispanic. However, right, things have changed. However, things have changed. So he's like, yeah, I think I put white Hispanic. I know I put white male, but he doesn't know if he put, I guess, Hispanic. So he was trying to clear it up there. And so I think what makes a lot of people upset about this and what has a lot of people of color up in arms is the fact that it's like, you know, that ability to just like attempt to switch whenever you feel like it. Like, I'm white, but then when, you know, when my back is put against the wall and when I'm being charged with discrimination, I'm now going to tap into my one drop and say that I'm black to basically, you know, really cover up the fact that I'm discriminating against black people. And I mean, this is just from my experience as being a black person and a black Caribbean person in this country. A lot of Hispanics, those especially that can pass off as white, that are very ambiguous and you can't really tell what their origin is, a lot of them identify as white Hispanics. They identify as white Hispanics, and a lot of them are very racist, especially if you ask people who are from Miami. They will tell you that the, you know, the Cubans down there, the quote unquote white Hispanics in Miami, are very, very, very racist. They do not like black people. They do their best to distance themselves. They do not acknowledge whatever one drop. They could be your complexion, and they're still going to tell you that they're not black. So it's really real down there. And so I find it very interesting, and it's very frustrating when these individuals who we know you are claiming to be a white person by day, but then now when there's scandal, you're black at night. It's crazy. So one of the things that really alarmed a lot of people and that really got people like up in arms is the fact that, you know, Ortiz tried to really clarify his situation by saying, you know, he was asked, you know, what made you now decide to come out as being a black man? Like, what was your coming to God moment, I believe was the direct quote. And he stated that he recently learned that there are people who are mixed that are black in his family, and cited the one drop rule in justifying his identity. I mean,
does he even know where the drop rule like came from and why that was even like instituted? Like, of course he doesn't.
Of course he doesn't, because if he knew, he would never say it. Like, that's, I feel like that's even more inflammatory. Like, you should have just kept your mouth shut, as opposed to now trying to blame this on the one drop. Like, and the thing is that, again, I will post this picture because I keep referring to his physical attributes. This is not a spring chicken. He's not a spring chicken. This man is an older man. So you just now learn, like, you're in Miami PD, you know, like, you're dealing with black people all the time. Like, this is, it doesn't make, it's,
absolutely,
you know what I mean? This is not like, oh, he's an officer that's in like Wichita, Kansas, or whatever the case is, and had very few dealings with black people and now understand black history a little better. Like, you're in the thick of the blacks in Miami, and you're trying to tell me that you just now, at the age of, I'm assuming he's between, you know, 40 and 45, you're just now learning that there was something called a one drop system, and you just now found out that your family is mixed race?
Right. You either knew it and you've been hiding it, you know, all these years because you didn't want to own up to it, or you just found out, and you know, and now you're just using it to try to, you know, take some of the heat off of you for, you know, engaging in, you know, racially biased, you know, police conduct. Either way, it's complete ridiculousness.
I think that it's, I mean, I don't even know what else to say about it. I mean, this is not something that's new. We see this stuff all the time. But I personally, I don't know. I think it's ridiculous that this is that, I mean, this thing made the news. I was seeing it all over Facebook. People are really unhappy about the situation. But I'm like, are we really? But I think what was really just downright disrespectful about this entire thing is that he really took to the press, really took to the press conferences, really came out of his face to make these statements to the general public, using the one drop system and having a coming to Jesus moment to his alleged blackness to basically, like you said, escape accountability, but to also kind of like dismiss really the grievances of these police officers who were probably discriminated against. And took away light from that, you know, took away the essence from their claim.
Right. And like you said, too, like, you know, if you just look at, like, you can look at how, like, you know, a lot of the Latino community votes, you know, in Miami-Dade, you know, and it's a lot of, you know, Cubans who identify, you know, more so with the Republican Party and, you know, certainly, like, try to align themselves with whiteness, you know, to help themselves assimilate into American culture, because unfortunately, one of the easiest ways, if you are not a white male or someone who immigrates to America, the easiest way to assimilate into American culture is to shit on black people. Unfortunately, yeah. Hold on one second.
Really, where a lot of people are at is that they just find this to be disrespectful, intellectually irresponsible, is I think a quote from this individual called Jacobs that they had interviewed. Like, it's just, you know, his sentiment was just that blackness is not for sale. And I think that that's what we extract from his actions and his statements, is that black, like, anybody could just claim blackness, like, whenever they want to get out of trouble, whenever they want to escape liabilities, like, oh, well, you know, yeah, I'm black. Like, and that's just, like, there's a lot, you know, being black, there's a lot to being black, right? It's there's so much to being black.
And it's not even just about your skin. It's not just about your skin color. You know what I mean? Like, it's about, you know, a culture, a community. You know, do you identify with the struggles of the particular culture? And you clearly don't, because, you know, a lot of people, when people were with the one drop rule, and when people would try to, like, pass, like, black people would try to pass for white, like, back in the day, like, typically that was to attempt to, you know, try to avoid slavery or being killed or being able to move about freely in society. And now today we have people who are doing, like, the reverse, trying to pass to be black or whatever, for, you know, so that you can continue to discriminate and brutalize the people, the very people who this rule, who use this, not even this rule, but who were attempting to pass as white. To try to, and then you are attempting to pass for white because you are a white male on your application. So which one is it? You just really just don't want to be Latino, I guess, because you are identifying for white to get a job, and now you're identifying as black to try to keep it. It's just disrespectful. It really is.
Overall, it is, and it's like, you know, it's funny because the article kind of went in on his background. And that's the thing with a lot of these racists, right? It's like your racism is well documented, whether it be on film, whether it be in minute notes, you know, like, it's well documented. And with him, they definitely talked about, you know, the history of his racist incidences. And he even made a comment about, you know, Tamir Rice, calling him a thug. And he's actually defended police officers who've shot unarmed black, you know, people on social media. So he's well documented for being a racist. And on top of that, you know, again, like, he's never identified himself as a black person. So for him to just come out of his face right now and now, like, try to kind of, like, pull the wool over our eyes to say, hey, now I want to be black. It's it's just very, it's disrespectful on so many levels. And it's like a slight to the culture, like you said. Being black is not just about the skin. It's about the culture that he clearly doesn't identify with. So, you know, I don't know what they're going to do with him. I know they say he's suspended, I guess, pending investigation. I don't know what the pending is, but they've definitely suspended him. I guess pending investigation. I guess they're going to go now and go in depth with this discrimination investigation to really see if there's any, you know, teeth to the comb. And hopefully there will be, you know, they will be able to discover, you know, his, you know, his treatment of these officers, and hopefully they can, you know, terminate him, or I don't know, whatever they do to captains nowadays. So that is the womp womp of the week. I feel like the womp womps are either very light or they're very like heavy, or they're, I don't know. But this one, I think, was just, it caught me off guard. I was like, this, like, really? Are we doing this in 2020? Like, we're 26, you know, days into the new year. Is, you have the audacity to get on like a national platform to say that you're black and that's why you can't discriminate against these people. It's ridiculous. But either way, and the sad part is with discrimination, that's not even really like the test, right? You can be black and discriminate against black people, which just goes, yeah, which just goes, yeah, which just goes to show like the level of ignorance that resides in a police captain. Like, that I think is also, you know, concerning, that your police captain is of this mindset and is of this behavior. But we could probably talk all day about this, so let's move on. Let's move on to, I guess, I don't know, we don't really have the meat of the show when it's me and you. We kind of talk about different hot topics, and we turn our urban dictionaries into social justice movements.
I was mad, but this is because I'm hungry. So you should have quit this commercial.
Yeah, that with being hangry. Well, that's because you're on a lettuce diet. Yeah. Like, you're not eating anything. You're on a detox.
Yeah, I gotta eat something because I'm angry. I'm okay now. I went and got myself some. Everybody's got some tea. I'm cool now.
All right, good, cool, calm, and collected for now, at least. So the one thing I know that we wanted to talk about today was the recent Tyler Perry Netflix movie, A Fall from Grace. Everybody's been talking about it. I'm sure everybody is seeing.
Didn't I just say I'm relaxed?
I mean, listen. Hopefully the tea calmed you down. It slowed you down a little bit, so that when you can respond, you know, accordingly, and hopefully not raise your blood pressure. Like, that was the kind. That was like an antidote, maybe. Is it an antidote? a pre-dote? I don't know what you call it when you give it. When you give it pre-dote. Beforehand, is a pre-dote. man.
All right,
okay, so I mean,
Tyler Perry, yes.
The reason this caught my attention was because, you know, I saw it on Netflix, and I am a Netflix connoisseur. I am a Netflix all day, every day, you know, on the train. Like, that is my thing. Netflix, if you're hiring, holla at your girl.
Holla at your boy too.
Yeah, please. And then holla at your boy. But you know, listen, you know how it is. They gotta let one of us in first, and then I could bring you in. We can't just be pitching to both of us. Come on now. Come on now.
All
right. Anyways. So
I'm gonna let you shoot your shot.
So I saw it on, you know, the Netflix roster, and I saw it. I'm like, you know. I kind of sat on it. I didn't immediately click watch. I was like, all right, let me just give it some time. Let me just, you know, let me finish my other shows up, and then I'll let this one percolate a little bit. So then I finally decided to watch it, and I sat down and I started watching it, and I was like, oh, this is a Tyler Perry film. And I immediately was just like, interesting. Like, this is a Tyler Perry film. Like, all the ingredients of a Tyler Perry film is in there. But even so, I still enjoyed I enjoyed the movie. I enjoyed the film. But then I went to like the internet, and then there was so much like back and forth with respect to this particular film and Tyler Perry. And so I kind of wanted to get your opinion on it. So if you watch Tyler Perry films the way I watch Tyler Perry films, you know that there seems to always be some interesting theme. And like I said, the ingredients are always right. There's usually a scorned black woman. And so recently there was an article that it was like Google.com. where they're saying that Tyler Perry says he, so basically he's under fire for trying to exploit women with abuse-related storylines. And I feel like this is not the first time I've heard this accusation of Tyler Perry. But I don't know. I feel like there's some teeth to the comb. I feel like there's some merit to these allegations because, I feel like there's merit to it. I'm not coming down at Tyler Perry because maybe there's an agenda. Maybe there's something he's trying to promote. Maybe he's trying to secretly or somehow uplift these women, you know, women that might be in this particular situation and seeing a film like this and seeing how people can rise above or come from the ashes. I don't know. I mean, what's your take on it?
I took a breath. I think that Tyler Perry writes for a very specific and very particular audience, and I think that he knows exactly what voice to use to pierce that particular demographic. I mean, let's call a spade a spade. There are going to be, nobody's going to like everything by everybody. And there's a large swath of people who think that Tyler Perry's movies are absolute trash. And there are swaths of people who will follow him to the ends of the earth because they just love the work that he does. I would consider myself to be somewhere in the middle because I do appreciate what he does, for the culture. And I will say that his movies, when he started making movies, it came at a time when Black Hollywood and a lot of people were not hiring Black actors and Black movies were not being made. And his movies prove that Black people and Black stories do have box office power, money making potential. And there is a dedicated community and group of Black people who are, moviegoers. So I will say that, we do have to give him his props for, honestly, without him showing that, we wouldn't have, some of the other, I don't think that the floodgates would have opened up for Black movies. You have Will Packer now, you have, Girl Strip, and you have all these other movies that are not doing so well. And it's because Hollywood now realized that, hey, Black people do go to the movies. Black stories can sell. Having a woman lead in a movie, a Black woman lead in a movie can work, and it is marketable. So I will give him the props for that. Now, in relation to this particular movie, and like you were saying, his ingredients in his movie, yes, Tyler Perry has a formula. And the formula is typically, like you said, some scorned Black woman who's got everything in the world going for her. She's got a beautiful job. She's got a beautiful home. She's got family. She's got friends. But she just can't make it without a man. She needs a man. She needs a man to come in and save her. A man is typically a big, dark-skinned, bald-head Black man who comes in and swoops her off. He turns out to be a big, evil, dark Black man.
It's always a blackety Black man.
Bald-headed, too. You gotta be bald-headed. Mm-hmm. Big, Black, bald-headed man. And then evil man. And then there's a light-skinned savior with waves and a six-pack that just comes in and just saves the day. And, typically Jesus is also, Jesus gave her this man. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think, and he definitely followed that formula in this movie too. And I just think that, I think that you women and people in general are just kind of tired of this narrative that you all need a man, you can have everything in the world, but unless you have a man, you're not happy. You're not, you can't be a true success, without having a man in your life. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think that's what we're tired about.
I think I can understand that because you have this, every woman, he never portrays women who are unintelligent or not highly successful. I will give him that, but it's always I need a man to complete me. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure y'all are tired of that.
I think especially in this new era, we're tired of that. We're tired of that, especially since that's not necessarily the case.
It's not the case. And it's always, his movies are always centered and focused around the pain, of black women or portraying black women as being scorned in some way, shape, or form. But again, I will say there is a group of people who, you know, who watch these movies and maybe, you know, they have been scorned by men and they like to see a man get his ass beat. Because they may not have the power to beat his ass, beat the man in his life, you know, beat his ass, you know what I'm saying? The man they need in their lives. They may not have the power or the what's the word I'm looking for? The strength, I guess.
Yeah, you know, the strength.
To beat his ass, to put his ass. So, they, you know, to be able to see that on screen, you know, it might resonate with them. But, you know, and I also think that, you know, writing in a woman's voice, a black woman's voice, you know, even Madea, like how he rose to fame, like it was him portraying an African-American Southern Christian black woman. But yet you have no women whatsoever. You don't even have a writer's room. Like you have no women. You're writing from these voices. You're writing this voice from yourself, but you can't identify with it because you're not a black woman and you're, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like some of it is even, like you said, it's accurate. Like you said, it's not the case. You know, and we get up in arms when white people write from a black perspective. Like, so I can certainly understand it. This particular movie, like, on top of it just being, like, the editing and, like, we'll get to the wigs. The wigs.
Oh, my gosh. I don't, I have seen so many comments about this. I had to go back myself several times. I don't understand how in the same scene she had two separate wigs.
She had two, the woman had on two separate wigs. And he always has this thing about putting wigs on black men who don't, like, who don't need a wig. Like, why are you putting a wig on? And it was on Makai Brooks. Makai Brooks played Shannon, I think the guy in this movie. And you know, he was like the but like, why are you putting but the wig looked like a flat top. It looked like a cross between Jermaine Jackson and Moesha's daddy, Frank Mitchell. It was that damn bad. It looked like Steve Harvey, 1996. It was that damn stiff and foamy. It was horrible. He looked like a pencil eraser. It was just the worst shit I've ever seen in my life. But why are you putting a wig on Makai Brooks' head? Why are you putting fake cornrows on Shamar Moore? Why are you putting a fake afro on Boris Coates? And even Tyler Perry's damn wig in this movie, that was, he ridiculous. Looked like Mrs. Doubtfire. Like, it was just the absolute, I don't understand it. And I think people are tired of that, too. Like, the, you know, you got all this money, you got this dynamic studio, like, you know, you see your film still seem kind of low budget. But that might be what his audience, his core audience, they might like that. They might not want, like, complex.
Yeah, I mean, you might be right. He's probably done the market research and the analytics to see what exactly, you know, is going on, who exactly is purchasing, you know, his stuff, who is actually is tuning in. I mean, the thing is that I think where the danger comes in for me is that, you know, this is another black film that's, you know, portraying black professionals in a particular light. And so, yeah, you know, we are smart enough, I guess, to see what might be going on, or we might, you know, be able to come to our own conclusions about this, and we don't really take it for what it is. But there are a lot of people who are, you know, black people, yes, and white people, you know, those who are non-blacks who are watching this, like, oh, there goes another, you know, because they're watching these things too. This is not, you know, this is out on Netflix. So, you know, we have, like, this is, people are watching this. This is not unlike, you know, BET, you know, where people had to go, you know, travel to that channel to go watch these movies. This is, like, something that's out there. And I feel like, you know, I'm always sensitive as to, like, what this, you know, there's already a narrative about black people, black women, black men in our community. And then you have sometimes these films that kind of just, like, you know, confirm or reaffirm these notions that aren't really like notions. Like, these are not, like, this is not really the reality for a lot of people. And I understand that there should be films to address it here and there, because I do like that Rise Above narrative. Like, you know, there are women who are probably like in that situation who are just like, you know what, man, like, this is positive for me. I'm gonna like move forward, or I there's a new day for me. But I feel like there just needs to be maybe a mix. I don't know. Maybe we're just too sensitive. I know our society.
One thing that I will say about Tyler Perry's films too is that, like, you know, the people that he writes to and for are like everyday black people. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not, they're like people like families. Like, you know, people who are honest people, who just go to work, go to church, who are just living their lives, everyday people. Mm-hmm. And those people do deserve to have their stories told. And I think that that's why he resonates, his stories resonate with a large part of our community, because, mm-hmm. you know, these aren't like, you know, a lot of times you get tired of seeing like the super Negro or like the, you know, the uber black, or like, you know, so I know black girls are magic, but I know sometimes y'all be tired of being magic. Like, can I just,
we're very tired.
Can I just stop being magic and just,
very like, tired.
Can I just do me? So I understand those stories absolutely deserve. Can somebody be magic for me? Like, I understand that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, those stories deserve to be told. I just wish and hope that, you know, he's adamant about not having a writer's room. He said that he used to have a writer's room and it was like a bad experience. But I think that the premises, like you just said, the premise of a lot of his movies and a lot of stories he's trying to tell are important and are good premises. I think that he could just benefit, you know, from having some other perspectives and some other voices in the room.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he knows his audience. Tyler Perry ain't gonna listen to me, and he definitely got more money than I have. So,
listen,
kudos to him. But I think that he could, I think that he should include some other voices, some other perspectives in his films, and I think that the quality of those films, because, you know, will be a little better. Because again, those stories deserve to be told. I just personally wish that they were told with a little better quality,
yeah,
more attention to detail.
I totally agree.
I love seeing us on screen. I like seeing us right on screen. You know.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree with you on that one. Jeez, Tyler Perry has definitely made our conversations on several occasions. We've only had like a few, you know, on PB, and I feel like we've talked about him, but we were bigging him up on one of them when the whole Tyler Perry Studios came out. Because again, I totally respect the fact that he's providing platforms for people that, you know, otherwise would not have. But I feel like there's always room for criticism when it comes to certain things as well, too. And so although this was a great movie, I could totally see why some people were up in arms. Like, come on, Tyler. Like, can we not just be the scorned black woman? Like, could we not be the ones getting got? Because in this particular movie, homegirl got real good.
I mean, she got super good. And I don't understand.
I think that he's doing great work, but I feel like you know, with this particular movie, I thought it was a well-written movie. I did like it, especially, I guess, more so because there's the legal component, and I'm always down for anything that's with the law.
Yeah, but that legal component was trash.
Like, I mean, it was very trash.
What lawyer did he consult? Like, he had homegirl trying to call witnesses at the closing statement.
Yeah,
and I said, man.
Yeah, like I think you're definitely on point with respect to him needing some sort of writing room, or at least somebody coming in there to consult, because the courtroom situation, I feel like people really thought that like afterwards, people who are lay people who do not have any real understanding of how law or the courtroom works, I think they really walked away thinking that that is how you conduct yourself in a courtroom, and that you're allowed to act in the manner that this woman acted in the courtroom, requesting for witnesses to come back on the stand, and then telling the witness to get back on the stand even after the judge said, sit your ass down.
She really pushed it. But I will say, though, as far as the actors and the actresses in the movie, like, you know, we have different opinions. You thought it was a good movie. I, however, again, I thought the premise was good. He needed a little help. But the actors, I thought that with what they had to work with, I thought that they all did good. Like, you know, Felicia Rashad is, you know, she can't do anything wrong. Cicely Tyson, mm-hmm. Brisha Webb, Makai Brooks, like I'm a fan of a lot of their work, all their, you know, other things that they've done.
I think that's why I thought it was a good movie, though, because the actors and actresses actually I thought they did a really great job. It was believable, which is why I was like all up in it. So I think that, you know, I echo your sentiments with that. He needs to, like, if you're going to start trying to take these movies out of Madea land and really focusing on like real issues and trying to really have a whole, like, you know, Law and Order series, then you need to consult the writers of Law and Order, or you need to have a lawyer on staff. You need to like actually maybe do a little research as to what really takes place in courtrooms, how things happen, to really make, because for the general public that don't know, that doesn't really know much, they're like, oh wow, wow, like interesting. For people like you and I, we were just like, what the hell type of inaccuracies are happening up in here, Tyler Perry? Like, but I think you were able to, he did a good job of doing the story, because when I'm, and maybe that's just in, you know, specialized to me, when I read books and when I watch movies, I actually get lost in characters. And so I'm a little more sensitive to like how things play out. Like I can get lost in a story and appreciate it in a way that the average person won't. So that's why for me, as like the fact that I was so captivated into the different characters and the parts, I thought that that was actually good. But I feel like overall, this is another Tyler Perry movie. Like we need to evolve in 2020.
I totally agree with that. Totally agree with that.
I guess we had a lot to talk about today, as we always do. I got you upset twice now. I raised your blood pressure twice.
I handled Tyler Perry very well because I took a deep breath.
You did. You handled it better than I thought you would.
I think by the end of the show, thank you. I tried. I really did. I'm growing. I'm growing in Christ. Ooh. You know, I'm growing in love. I'm just trying to be a better person.
I feel you, as you should. But it's always a pleasure, obviously, having you on the show and really dissecting into these, you know, hot topics, and also dragging out, I guess, the true issues behind these topics, right? I feel like with every hot topic, there's definitely something, you know, something more to comment on, something deeper. And so I definitely look forward to the next RP and PB show. I guess in a couple of weeks, we got to get our schedules together. You got to find your mic. But in the meantime, those of you who are listening, who want to donate.
No, I'm going to find your microphone.
Who want to donate to the Paul Bromley microphone fund.
Set up a GoFundMe.
You can send me, slide up in my DMs.
Set up a GoFundMe. I'm gonna find them, but we'll definitely get back together.
No, of course. So thank you again for taking this time to be on the show today. And with that being said, everyone, it's a wrap for this week's show. Talk to you guys next week.
All right, see you guys soon.
You were listening to According to RP on WJMS Radio.
About time you tuned in.
Tune in each and every Sunday.
Can't wait to come back.
7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
It's all on.